All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's read verse 10 together. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to be by the hands of men, but it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was men being permitted by the God taking his restraining hand off of them to do what God had determined before to be done. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And then we read here, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. This is the first reason it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He made his soul an offering for sin. Adam, along with every sinner who fell in Adam, must and shall suffer divine justice. Every one. There are no exceptions. God is just, and he will pour out justice upon every sinner without exception. God will by no means clear the guilty. But by God's sovereign grace, for you who God sanctified in divine election, by choosing you out from among and taking you out of the people he would create and putting you in Christ, for you who shall be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, all God's people shall be sanctified by the Holy Spirit in the new birth, for those Christ Jesus made his soul an offering for sin. Instead of you bearing that justice, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Instead of you being put to grief, it pleased the Lord to put his son to grief. And by doing so, he satisfied God. It pleased God to bruise him. Christ manifests the righteousness of God, how that God is just and he's the justifier of his people by his death at Calvary. Christ magnified his law and made it honorable because he totally, thoroughly fulfilled his law in precept and in penalty, laying down his life on Calvary's tree. He did that for his people. Christ bore the sins of his people into the grave like the scapegoat went into a land not inhabited. And 3 days later, the fit man came forth without sin unto salvation. And for those that look for him, he's going to appear a second time without sin and bring them into glory. This is the truth of the gospel. That's why it pleased the Lord to bruise him. By his one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, this is our subject today, the second point here. Verse 10 says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him because by Christ's one offering, all his seed shall be born again and brought to glory. Verse 10 says, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. First of all, God saw Christ. He saw his seed. God saw his son, his only begotten son, Christ Jesus, and he prolonged his days. Whenever the Lord went to that cross, that great cross work of the mediator declared the son's preeminent desire to glorify his father and to fulfill his father's will. It showed his desire and his willingness for his father to have all the glory and all the honor in salvation. It showed it because for him to go to that cross, Christ had to come from glory. He had to humble himself and become a man. He made himself of no reputation. This one who is the God of glory didn't even make, we can't go 5 minutes without tooting our horn when something good happens. He made himself of no reputation. This one who is God. And on that cross, he made himself the very least. There's never been anybody go from as high as Christ was in glory to as low as Christ went on Calvary's tree. He made himself the absolute least. But you know what he said? He said, he that is least among you shall be great, and Christ shall be great. God the Father saw what his Son did, and it pleased the Father. and he saw his seed. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my son who came to fulfill my law for me. This is the only son that I have that walked from his birth to the day he laid down his life for me to perfectly fulfill my will. This is my son who started out saying, 'I must be about my father's business,' and ended his life saying, 'It is finished. I have finished my father's business.'" There's not another person on this earth that can say anything remotely close to that. "In every way, this is my son," God said, "who preeminently glorified me by his work on the cross. And because he glorified me, wherefore also I'll glorify him. And he prolonged his days." God the Father raised him from the dead, and he raised him to be head over all power, good and evil, over all power, seen and unseen, and to be head over his church, that church which is the fullness of his body, that Christ himself might have the glory of fulfilling all in all. And Christ shall. That's exactly what he shall do. That's what this text means secondly. It means Christ shall see all his seed brought to faith in him and their days prolonged to eternal life because Christ shall do it. This is what he bought the rights to do when he shed his blood at Calvary's tree. This is why it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, among the Hebrews, it was a great honor, and it was for a long time in this country. It's not so much in our day, but it was a great honor to have a house full of children. And it was a great honor to see your children's children. I'll give you an example. Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God has showed me also thy seed." He thought this was a great honor. He saw his son and he saw his son's children. Well, first of all, Christ Jesus shall see his seed. Now, as surety of his people, from the foundation of the world, when God the Father gave his people unto him, Christ has always seen his seed. Now, you listen carefully to me, because what I'm declaring here today is giving God all the glory. It's giving Christ all the glory. Now, worship of God, true worship, is giving God all the glory. And if you don't desire God to have all the glory, you don't worship God. Now, if you do desire for God to have all the glory, listen up, because I'm declaring a message that's going to give man no glory, and it's going to give God all the glory. First of all, Christ saw his seed from eternity. He saw his seed from the foundation of before the foundation of the world, when the Father blessed us with all spiritual blessings according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Look at John chapter 1. I'll show you this. John chapter 1. Christ has always seen his seed. This applied, it was whenever a saint was born in the Old Testament, it was Christ working it because he stood as surety for his people. He would go to that cross. And after Christ ascended, it's Christ working this in his people. The glory of being the mediator and the head of his church belongs to Christ. Now look here. Philip ran to go get Nathanael. Remember that? And verse 47 says, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile.'" Here's an Israelite. Here's a true Jew. Here's a true elect child of God, born inwardly, circumcised in the heart by the Holy Spirit of God, in which spirit there is no guile. Created in righteousness and true holiness by God. And Christ looked at him and said, this is my seed right here. I see one of my seed. And look what Nathanael said. He said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" They never met. Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." I saw you. And what he's telling him is, Philip, telling him, "Nathanael, I've been seeing you since before anybody saw you. I've been seeing you before you even had a being. I've seen you since before the foundation of the world. And he's always seen his seed. And then he saw his seed raised in him. He saw his seed raised in him. Hosea 6:2 says this, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, how did that come to pass? Look at Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 5. This is how it came to pass. This was before any of us sitting here today were born. But this is true of every elect child for whom he died. Now look, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were dead in sins, before as yet we were ever even born, brethren, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. It's by grace because you, me and you had nothing to do with this. Now look, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, when did he do that? He did that when he raised Christ. When he raised Christ, he raised all those for whom Christ died up with him and made us all sit together with him in Christ in glory. Not only did God see his seed and prolong his days, Christ saw all those for whom he died, and he prolonged their days when he came out of that grave and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Oh, so that means that if a man's an elect child of God and God redeemed him, he don't ever have to hear the gospel. He'll be saved regardless. Well, if it pleased God to do it that way, that would be true. But the Scripture does not say it pleased God to do it that way. The Scripture says it pleased God to save through the foolishness of preaching. It says it saved God to save through faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't come to God without faith. Christ said, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. Except you believe, you have no life in you. The fact of the matter is, when we're dead in our sins, brethren, even though we have a physical life, we're the product of Adam. We came from Adam's corruption. We were conceived from Adam's corrupt seed. And we don't even have a being experimentally as a child of God until we're born of God. We got to be born again. Then we're born of God. Then we're born of incorruptible seed. Then that new man is the child of God. We got to be born again. And Christ is the life of his seed, and he shall accomplish that work. Look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and look at verse 30. A seed, that means children, a people, a seed shall serve him. Now to serve somebody, you got to be alive, don't you? A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They're going to be his race, his chosen race, his holy nation, that chosen generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. They're going to be born. This is why it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong days. Christ is the last Adam. Our first father, Adam, we were born of him, but he won't be the father of God's elect forever. So he's not called the everlasting father. The last Adam, Christ Jesus, in Isaiah 9, he's called the everlasting father. Not only because he is God, but because those that are born of his seed, he's their father for everlasting. This relationship never ends. He's our everlasting father, the head and representative of his people. So as promised by the Father, this was promised by the Father to Abraham that this would happen, that all his seed would be born, and all his children scattered throughout all nations would be born again and brought to faith in Christ. This was declared to Abraham. And the same promise that was declared to Abraham was declared to Christ Jesus by God the Father. Look at Galatians 3. Let me show you that. Galatians 3. Look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now he said not unto seeds as of many. I hope you're using the King James translation because this might be butchered otherwise. Listen now. He made this promise to his seed. He said not to seeds as of many. He's not talking about to all his children, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So what I'm saying to you, the same promise God the Father made to Abraham, he made to Christ Jesus his son. The same promise. Now what promise is that? Go back up to Galatians 3 verse 8. Here's the promise. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that is the Gentiles, how? Through faith. Through faith. We're justified by Christ, by His work, and we're made to receive that free justification accomplished through faith. This is how God's going to save all His people. All right, watch. Seeing as how He would do that, He preached before the gospel unto Abraham. He preached this promise to Abraham, this gospel, this good news. He made this promise to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. It means in Abraham, through Abraham, a spiritual seed is going to be born. Christ Jesus the Lord. And through Christ, all His elect shall be born the first time, and all His elect shall be born again by the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, and given faith to believe on Christ, and through faith they shall be justified. That's how, that not all nations, not everybody in all nations, but all His elect from among the nations. He's called us out from among the nations. From among the nations, from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and people under the earth. He saved us out from among them. Read Revelation, it'll tell you that. Now look here. So then, they which be of faith, gotta have faith. God's gotta give us faith. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You can't come to God by your works of the law. Faith's opposite to the works. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. By faith. And the law's not of faith. You can't be both. We can't claim to believe on Christ and Christ be the end of the law for righteousness and then yet think that by our law keeping we're going to somehow be made righteous or a little more righteous. That's vanity. That's blasphemy. That's antichrist. That man that says that stands in the temple of God speaking as though he is God. And he's antichrist. He can't do what he says he can do. And he's against Christ. Look, what the law's not of faith, but the man that doeth the law shall live in the law. Anybody here done the law? None. Not one. Now watch this. Because that promise was made to Abraham, and that because that promise was made to Christ, that his seed would be born again, that's the very reason Christ came and redeemed his people. That's why it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Look at this now, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now why did he do that? That the blessing of Abraham, that promise that was made to Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That, here's it defined more simply, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Through faith. The very reason Christ died is because God the Father promised Him, all you shall see your seed, and you shall prolong their days. And you give them the Holy Spirit, just as I promised to give it to them. And you'll give them the promise that the Holy Spirit makes known in the heart, that we've been justified freely, that we've been made righteous in Christ, that our sins are forgiven and put away, and God remembers them no more. And this will come to them through faith. That was the promise God made to the Son. That's the very reason Christ died. That's why it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Look over at Galatians 4, verse 4. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, That for this reason, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you remember what the scripture says about that adoption of sons? Look, hold your place there in Galatians 4 and look two pages over to Ephesians 2, Ephesians 1. Look at this. Verse 5. God predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He promised the Son. These children are all going to be born again. And you're the one that's going to do it. And I'm going to give them the adoption of sons. I'm going to give them my spirit. They're going to be born again, and I'm going to give them faith. And that's why Christ came at the appointed time and was made under the law and redeemed all His people from under the law. Go back to Galatians 4. Let's read that. Galatians 4, He says, let's read it again, verse 5. He came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. No possibility it won't happen. They're going to be born again because they're predestinated unto it. Look at this. And because you are sons, because you already were by divine election, by blood redemption, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, and now we cry, Abba, Father. You see that? So, away with this nonsense, away with this blasphemy, away with this anti-Christ doctrine that claims that Christ redeemed do not have to hear the gospel and do not have to be given faith to believe. I could go to a lot of scriptures that just plainly say, where Christ said, except you be born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Where He said, except you be converted and become as little children, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All, it's written in the scripture, they shall all be taught of the Father. Therefore, everyone that's been taught of Him comes to Christ. And no man can come to Christ except the Father draw him. These scriptures plainly declare it. But beyond that, brethren, it's the very promise God the Father made to His Son. This is the Word of God, God who cannot lie. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The very reason Christ laid down His life is for this. The very reason He was bruised is for this. Therefore, Christ Jesus lives, and by His own power, He shall see all the souls that He has redeemed, born first to earth, and then born again the second time to newness of life in the new birth. I gave the illustration Thursday night, but I'm going to give it again. A lady I know that I know of in Japan was living in, I don't know which one of the cities it was, one of the cities we dropped the atomic bomb on. And for, quote, some reason, she didn't go where she was supposed to go that day, to a building that was thoroughly leveled. She didn't go that day to that building. She couldn't go. She couldn't die. Because she was going to give birth to a child that had to be born the first time. And the reason I know this child had to be born the first time is because God sent the gospel to this woman's child and saved her by His grace because she was an elect child. She was a child for whom Christ died. She was one God made this promise to Christ about saying, you're going to see that woman. You're going to prolong her days. And therefore, that promise couldn't be broken. And that woman is Pastor David Edmondson's wife, Teresa Edmondson. Her mother survived that bombing there and then gave birth to Teresa. And she, God, by His Spirit, made her born again. It had to be. They all shall be. Let me show you Psalm 128. This is the spirit of what that verse means when it says He shall see His seed, He shall prolong days. Blessed. Let's read this whole psalm. It's just six verses. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. That's what Christ did. Christ did that perfectly. No man ever did it perfectly. Christ did it perfectly. Now listen, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Christ's wife is his church, his bride. And he says, she's going to be fruitful because of what Christ did. Look at this. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Just in abundance. He's going to save a people, a multitude no man can number. Look at this. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Christ, God the Father, out of heaven Zion, raised up his Son from the dead and raised him to Zion. And he's going to see the good of heavenly Jerusalem of all his elect all the days of his life. He prolonged his days to all eternity. And he's going to prolong the days of his children to all eternity. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. That was the promise made to Christ. That shall be fulfilled. And let me tell you something. You may say, well, I've believed this doctrine that a man didn't have to hear the gospel and he didn't have to have faith, that just so he's an elect child, just so he's redeemed, he'll be saved. I believed that all my life. Well, stop it today. Just stop doing it today. Better to stop it today than go to hell believing it. Stop it today. Believe God. Because the honor of Christ is slightly more important than what any man-made doctrine. It's more important than, and I'm not just picking on anybody. My whole family, on the Curtis side of my family, believes that a man don't have to hear the gospel. My grandma, my grandfather believed it. My aunts and uncles believe it. It's just not true. It's just not true. God has the power to do what pleases him. We're going to see that in the next part of that verse next time. He shall see, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. We're going to look at the things that it pleased the Lord to do. And they're all going to prosper in Christ's hand. That's why it pleased God to bruise him. So, brethren, God entrusted everything to Christ. Now you entrust everything to him. If he gives you a heart to do it, you will. And he'll turn you. He can turn a man from that false doctrine and bring him to believe. And he will for all his people. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we need you to make us to hear it. What we call paying attention is not even worth calling paying attention. We don't pay attention except for to anything that concerns us. And we need for you to make your gospel to concern us. Lord, only Christ our King can grant us repentance. Turn us from falsehood and make us bow to him and believe him. And we pray that you'll do that. That you'll give us forgiveness of sins. Lord, make every heart that's inflamed with anger right now because of this message to be melted into submission. Pour out your Spirit upon them with the washing of regeneration and put out that fire. And make them, Father, to burn within their new hearts for Christ and his glory and your honor. We ask it in Christ's name, Lord. Amen.